Praise and thanks be to the Lord for this hour of grace, that we may once again be here together to worship Him, to offer Him honor and praise. Before we worship, let us read together from Psalm 119, Psalm 119 from verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. These are very precious words. And I believe that everyone who reads them needs to reflect on them. Here this man of God says, my duty, O Lord, I confess, is to keep your words. I think that was not only the duty of this man of God who said this, but I believe that the Spirit of God guided him in such a way that he had to recognize that his duty is, as it is written here, to keep thy words. I believe the same is true of us. If we are believers, then we could say the same thing, each of us individually. My duty, O Lord, I confess, is to keep your words. Many may say, Lord, speak to me, do this and that. But the question afterwards is, when God speaks, whether His word is obeyed, or whether you go on with your own thoughts, on your own ways. That is what we have to think about. This man of God, in him was the longing to actually obey the word of God. And this longing to obey the word of God is also in us. It must be present in you and in me, because if we do not keep His word, then we cannot call ourselves His own. For the Lord once said, my sheep hear my voice. And what do? And they follow me. Beloved, if we are God's sheep, if we have heard the voice of God, then we cannot help but follow that voice. Many may say, God has not spoken. We want God to speak this way or that way. We know that God has spoken, especially in our day, and that He still speaks through His precious and holy word. And God will not speak the way you or I want Him to, but He speaks the way He wants Him to. And He reveals Himself as He wills. And you and I are not responsible for telling Him how He should reveal Himself. No, that is up to Him. He knows how to reveal Himself. He knows who He has to reveal Himself to. He knows how He has to reveal Himself. You and I can't tell Him what to do. What we only have to do is what is expressed here in this one verse, what this man is expressing. My duty, O Lord, I confess, is to obey your words. And He has made His words known to us so marvelously in our days, and we keep putting them upon the lampstand. He has revealed His word and His purpose to us so mightily. But now it says, obeying His word is our duty, your duty and my duty. My duty is not to point and look at the other person and see if they are obeying the word of God, but whether I am obeying it, me personally, how am I in the eyes of God? You know, there are so many, they are just judging others as they actually are, but sometimes they don't even see themselves as they are. But isn't it important that we see ourselves as we each are? And I believe that there is no room left for us to pass judgment on others and to judge others. But then we see enough and have enough to do with ourselves. This verse has become very important to me. I hope it goes to the heart of all of us, dear brothers and sisters, because through it God is speaking to us, to you and to me tonight. Even if it's just one verse that He puts before us, but it's His word. And this man of God certainly didn't speak it on his own initiative, but I believe with certainty enlightenment came down from above and inspired him in such a way that you and I can visualize this verse tonight, and that I can examine myself to see whether I am like this or not. My duty is. What is your duty? What is my duty? I believe we all have the same duty to obey your words. And may God help us to do that. We are not even able to do it on our own. But if He helps us, then we are helped. If He helps us, then everything is clear and we can thank God. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. So says this man of God, be merciful unto me according to thy word. See, these great men of God, they didn't just say something superficially, but with all my heart, I plead with you. What shall we say, beloved? How should we plead with Him? I don't know. But isn't it sometimes the case that we don't plead with Him at all? Isn't it sometimes the case that we remain closed, our hearts and mouths, and everything remain closed to Him? Isn't it sometimes like that? Everyone can examine himself. I implore you with my whole heart, be merciful unto me according to your promise. Has He promised to be merciful? He has promised. And we know God's promises remain. They do not waver eternally. Jesus sealed with His own blood what He promised on the cross, as the song goes. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Beloved, perhaps we too need to reflect on all our ways and look back. And then, this man of God says, and after reflecting, he turned his steps back to the testimonies of God. I believe we have no choice but to do the same. I thought on my ways Have you ever thought about your ways, about your whole existence, about your life? It's only short. Today we are here. Tomorrow we can be taken away. It can happen very quickly. We can see how quickly it happens. But let us think about our ways and turn my feet unto thy testimonies. Yes, if God does not help us to turn our feet back to his word, not just our feet, our thoughts, our whole heart, back to his word, then things are bad. But praise and thanks be to our Lord. He wants to help us. He wants to be merciful to us in these hours. And even if trials or temptations sometimes come, and some things we don't like, we would like to see everything go so smoothly. But it doesn't go that smoothly in life. There are many things in your life and in mine and in many others. But may he guide our feet and our thoughts towards what he has spoken. And then, beloved, all will be well. I believe we should worship him from the depths of our hearts, offering him honor and praise even in this evening hour. Let us rise and do it together. Faithful God, we thank you with all our hearts. From the depths, we cry out to you. Faithful God, like this psalmist, I implore you with all my heart. Faithful Lord, may it not be just words, but may our inner being, our whole heart, be truly in the matter, even tonight, as you speak to us through your precious and holy word. You make yourself known, Lord, in the way you have reserved for yourself. We worship you and ask you to have mercy on us. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me according to your promise. Lord, you have promised that you will be with us all the days of our lives. Lord, where we stray from you, come to meet us, Lord, and guide our footsteps and our feet back to your testimonies. That is my desire tonight and my prayer. Lord, I believe this is also the desire of my brothers and sisters. Give us all grace to lift our eyes up to you tonight and offer you honor and worship and praise for all things. For you are our God, Lord. You have spoken to us. You still speak to us, Lord. What grace, Lord. What love, Lord. You show us every time and every hour, Lord, in which we come together, Lord. We thank you and ask you, bless us tonight. Bless my brother, Lord, who will bring your word, and bless us all who have come to receive your word. Worship and honor be to your holy name from the depths of my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. It is not easy to say something in such hours. I have seen some verses in Psalm 119 that all deal with the same subject, always about the Word of God. Without the Word of God, Nothing has happened in all creation, and without the Word of God, nothing will happen in the Church and with the Church. All things happen according to the Word of God. God spoke, and it happened. Everything that God spoke happened. If we want to see the fulfillment of the Word of God, we must believe what He has spoken, what He has promised. Here, we could read a large number of verses in the longest psalm. It says here in verse 17, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live, and keep thy word." If we then go a little further, in the same psalm, verse 38, "Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." Verse 49 and 50, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me." Marvelous thoughts that are expressed everywhere. Have we ever consciously noticed verse 38? "Fulfill thy promise unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear." The fulfillment of God's promises is not aimed at you and me being seen or heard. The fulfillment of God's promises is aimed at God being honored, feared, and respected. And as we have read here in verse 57, "My duty," not the duty of the unbelievers, the duty of those to whom God has spoken, who have received the promise, who have come to love God's word, who carry it in their hearts, to them it is addressed here. David was not the only one. We have been counted among them by grace, because God has spoken to us. He has given us the same promises, and we are allowed to say what David said here. "My duty, O Lord, I confess, is to keep your words. With all my heart I plead with you. Be merciful to me according to your promise. I have pondered my ways, and I turn my steps back to your testimonies." Verse 67, "Before I was humbled, I went astray, but now I observe your word." Verse 81, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, When wilt thou comfort me? Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We could read and read. Verse 147. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. And then verse 154, plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Then 160, the whole content of your word is truth, and everlasting is every ordinance of your righteousness. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Isn't that something marvelous? I'm still thinking back to Wednesday evening. Let's read the one verse or the two verses again. And then we'll go to Moses and maybe to the New Testament. In Isaiah chapter 1, 19 and 20. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I would like to read the case of Abraham when he sacrificed Isaac. This is a case of obedience, of willingness. He did not refuse. He was not rebellious. He obeyed God. And that became his blessing, his righteousness, his salvation, everything he needed for eternity. Here the sacrifice is described, but I read from verse 15, Genesis 22, from verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Just because Abraham was obedient, this is a general promise for all those who, like Abraham, believe God, are obedient to him, not rebellious, but have faith combined with action to bring to the Lord. They are not only to be blessed, but also to possess the gates of their enemies, to have them under control, to conquer them, to possess them. That is the promise that God has given. If you think about it, every promise of God is true. And I'm thinking now about the people of Israel, two particular times. Firstly, when they were in the Babylonian captivity, and secondly, now, in the last or in this generation, when they knew that their time had come to return to the land of their fathers. And it made me think of the uprising in the Warsaw ghetto of some things. They knew what they were destined for, and they almost couldn't bear this humiliating oppression any longer. This certainty was renewed in their hearts. We are the people of God. We are destined to rule over our enemies. Our enemies are not destined to kick us down with their boots, to beat us down with the butts of their guns. But our task and destiny is different. I had to think about it. We, as the people of God, are not meant for the enemy to kick us down. We are meant to have authority over all the power of the enemy. That's what the Lord said. I give you power over all the power of Satan. And the Lord said, you will tread on serpents and scorpions, and no harm will come to you. We need to realize that it is not in the will of God for enemy powers to rule over us. Sometimes it may have come to the point where we almost want to make an inner rebellion and say to ourselves, Lord, this is no longer the way. This is not my and our destiny. But the Lord has said, and it is still written in Psalm 110, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And we know that all these words must be true. We know that they are true, but they must be confirmed as truth. The Church of the Lord is destined to continue the ministry that the Lord has begun. He is the head and we are the body. He prepared the way. We are to walk in it. In this context, I learned from the words of the prophet Isaiah that God gave Abraham an obedient heart. Anyone can believe and then stand still and tread water. But Abraham believed and was obedient and did what God told him. And the angel of the Lord called out to him a second time from heaven the words, I swear by myself, to us, to me and to you, God says, do not swear by heaven, for it is my throne, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool of my feet. He says here, I swear by myself. God wanted to let Abraham know through an oath that this is valid before me in heaven and on earth. There has never been anything like it. We know that it was already a symbol of Christ who carried his own cross, just as Isaac carried the wood that was built for the altar on which he was then laid and bound. And Abraham asks, "Where is the ram that I am to slaughter?" And the Lord says, "I will provide a lamb." We all know the whole story. And the Lord, from the spiritual body, as the angel of the Lord, calls out, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." There is no other way. If we believe and obey and do what God has said in his word, then this promise applies to us. We cannot pull ourselves out of the responsibility, just as God cannot pull himself out of the responsibility he has taken on. He has said it, and it remains so. Spiritually speaking, we are the seed of Abraham. And when we move on to the New Testament, what wonderful promises God has given and told the people of Israel who they are and what they are. I would like to start by reading one thing from the book of Acts, chapter 3. Acts 3, from verse 25. "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." God gave Abraham the promise for all the kindreds of the earth. If we want to express it precisely, then it reads like this: for all true believers from all kindreds, who like Abraham do what God has commanded in obedience of faith. This does not refer to entire peoples, but to the entire people of God, which is made up of all peoples, tongues, and nations. And once we have realized that we too are part of it, when we read about the covenant that God has made, we are not thinking of Genesis 22, but of Exodus 20, where the Lord God came down on Mount Sinai and the covenant was made, or the law was given. Here, the man of God, the apostle, goes back to Abraham and shows his fellow Jews and says, Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers when he made the promise to Abraham. God had already made the covenant in Abraham and with Abraham and through Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and with all the descendants. For God, this was something that already existed. God had already seen the things that were not yet visible, because they were an integral part of his divine plan of salvation. Paul explains this in particular in Galatians 3. There is no better chapter in the entire New Testament that expresses the importance of the law, grace, promise, and blessing in the way that Galatians 3 does, very clearly and succinctly. It says here from verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The believers are Abraham's sons. The promises are for them. The inheritance is for them. What God has promised is for them. And it continues here. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. God did not say to Moses, in thee all nations shall be blessed. Moses delivered the law, and the law convicts of punishment, and we all know what the punishment is. Death. God wanted to bless in Abraham. God used Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice to show, here is the son given up, given over to death. But here is also resurrection. Here is new life. God will provide a sacrifice. And when Abraham wanted to kill his son Isaac, the Lord called out the words, do not do it. You all know the story. I'm sure you all read it. God says, in Abraham I will bless all nations. Know ye therefore that the believers the same are the children of Abraham, not in Moses. The law came through Moses. The law convicts of sin. The law does not have great blessing in it. It has curse in it. Whoever does not keep the word of the law is under the curse. We can read it right here from verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law, to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Our God is a glorious God, an omniscient God. He has had the overview from eternity. Do you realize what this is about? In Abraham, not just one kindred, not just one people, but all kindreds, all peoples of the earth were to be blessed. And here we are told, Christ has become the curse to redeem us from the curse of the law. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This is the promise that God has given. It is very clearly expressed, and you can see what is included in what God has to say to us. The covenant, the promise, is for you. You can read it in Romans, probably chapter 9. It says, from verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. God blessed forever. Amen. And then you notice straight away how it goes on. But I do not mean to say that God's word of promise has become obsolete. In Galatians 3, Paul explains the matter of law, promise, and faith in a similar way. It says, in Galatians 3, verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Previously, we should have read somewhere that the law was only given in order to avoid transgression. It's written here in verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. You can read it in the book of Acts. It is chapter 7, where it speaks of this matter, that Moses, the mediator, was there on Mount Sinai. Here it is, Acts 7, from verse 35. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us. That was the end of verse 38. Moses said, A prophet like unto me, the Lord God, will raise up from among your brethren. Christ had to be prophet, therefore had to be the mediator of a new covenant, in order to bring us not only words and law, but grace and salvation. That is why he said, Matthew 26:26, This is the new covenant in my blood. Oh, when we think about all that God has done, how marvelously the whole counsel was laid down here, and also for the fact that God gave the apostles this grace by the same Spirit, in the same Spirit in which the prophets worked, spoke, and wrote, in the same way, in the same Spirit, to set it all out like this. And we go one step further and do not mean us, but really God, that he has given us the grace to walk in the same Spirit, in the same revelation, in the same footsteps of the prophets and the apostles, in the footsteps of our Lord, and to recognize the Word as a complete revelation, as it has been given to us in these last days, and to believe it. I believe that we owe our God many, many thanks for this, because he has given us the grace not only to look at what once was, but to let us know that we also belong to his program and have been added to it. I am grateful to God that he had a Paul who used the Old Testament in a special way and explained in the New Testament how everything that God had proclaimed through the mouth of his holy servants and prophets from the beginning was fulfilled. But I'm also thankful to God for Brother Branham, that we are allowed to be led into all of this in these last days. What a grace! No quarreling about high knowledge, about doctrines, but being led into the plan of salvation of our God. And like Abraham, we may walk in the way of faith. Coming back to the opening word, Lord, to keep your words, to do according to them. Abraham did it. It was hard what God asked, but Abraham had such trust in God. He knew that if I offer Isaac as a sacrifice and have to kill him God will raise him from the dead. And he was able to say to his servants, "You stay here. My son and I will go to worship, and we will come back." He didn't say, "I'm coming back," and "we will come back." Look it up. Everyone, look it up. Abraham believed God. The word of the Lord wasn't up here. It was here in his heart. Living revelation of the living God. And all who are of the seed of Abraham believe God, and they possess the gates of their enemies. The moment God can get us to the point that we prove to him the obedience of faith, not with words, but like Abraham, with a deed, God has heard enough words from us and all believers. He no longer listens to them. He is looking for people who, like Abraham, set out from the heart with faith to bring the sacrifice as God has said. And then he cannot help but give the answer from heaven. We have read how Paul explains that believers are given the promise of the Spirit, for God wanted through Christ to bless the Gentile nations and call out those who let themselves be called out. Blessed and praised be his wonderful and holy name. Amen. Let us rise and worship. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts, we thank you together for all thy grace, for thy word, O God, for the examples you set before us. Thank you for your servant and prophet Abraham, whom you called from Ur in Chaldea, who believed you from the first moment, was obedient and followed you. O Lord, you blessed him at every turn. He defeated the enemies and set out without knowing where he was going. You took him by the hand and led him until his feet wandered in the promised land. He himself sought the city whose builder you are, O Lord. What a living testimony has been left to us through such examples. But faithful God, what good would it do me and us if we looked at them and perhaps admired them? And if we do not follow in God's footsteps, honor him through faith and obedience, and thus receive the same blessing. My God, the hour has come. You speak to us and show us the way. And we pray like Moses, "If we have found grace in thy sight, let us know your plans and your ways." Lord, we know that you no longer trust us, we know that, but we trust in you with all our heart and with all our soul. For you remain faithful, you remain true, you are God and not a man, that you might repent. Lord, we commit ourselves and all your people to you. All those with whom we have ever sung and listened to your word. You know those who are yours, and we ask you to bless all who are your own, O God, and snatch them out of the enemy's hands and bring them back under the guidance and direction of your Spirit. Faithful God, I thank you for your sweet presence tonight. Lord, thy word has come to us. When heaven and earth will have passed away, your word will still remain. It will remain forever. O God, bless us as you blessed Abraham. Give us an obedient and believing heart that we may follow you and do what you have said. Once again, we lay before you all those we have already brought to you. Bless all who suffer, all who are afflicted, all who are in need. Heal the sick. Deliver those who cannot help and free themselves. And all who are in sorrow and who need comfort, be nigh to them. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, Amen.